This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network, and we've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you as Greg's Random Football Roulette comes your way in 30 minutes. We have to preview another team in terms of what we're going to be getting this NFL season. You're going to get one this hour. You're going to get another one next hour, as well as I'm previewing all 32 teams across 16 nights here on VSiN, and this is night numero dos. Last night, we had the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we had the LA Rams. We will see what gets spit out tonight in terms of the generator. We will hope for no whammies, but if we do get some whammies, I'm looking at you, the New Orleans Saints, well, it'll be a lot of fun. So that's going to be coming up in about 30 minutes. We had the NBA draft finish up on Thursday, so we have to tie a little bit of a bow around that. And additionally, we do have ourselves some great baseball action that is going to be happening on Friday. All 30 teams in action. Now, we do have a few games that are off the board, so we will try to maneuver through those, but we certainly do have ourselves just a great slate in general, and we do have ourselves a great show tonight because of everyone behind the scenes. Always have to give ode to the best team in the business, the team here at VSiN. They're the reason why you're able to see all the shows that you are right now and listening to all the shows, whether that be on SiriusXM channel 158, whether that be on the podcast feed via the VSiN Bets feed. As every single hour of every single show that we do here at the network, it is available in podcast form after the fact. And Fanos, he does a tremendous job on the ones and twos, making sure that the audio is nice, crisp, and clean. You've got my producers, Jared. He does a tremendous job of setting me up for success, being able to book all the guests, be able to get the rundown all set. And then the man here behind the scenes here on site that make sure that I am all set up and I am staying online, that would be John, as we also have a Johnny as well. So we've got John, Johnny, and Jared. So we've got the three J's, and they do a tremendous job, so appreciate all of them. And then if you're taking a look at everything that you're seeing on the VSiN Watch app, the hardest job in my opinion here at the network is making me look halfway presentable in a picture slash moving, video slash moving picture format. And by the way, getting new suits in the next few days as well. We're running out of wardrobe right now. You're seeing too many of the same suits. So that upgrade will be coming in the next few days. But that said, another guy with a letter J, Jarens, he does a tremendous job there. So a big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They do such great work here at the network. And because they do such great work, I need to be on point with my picks and my analysis. And we did see round two of the NBA draft go down, and I'm going to call it what it is. If you're expecting wonders from a team in day two of the NBA draft, I really don't know what you're looking at. Like, you've got a few diamonds in the rough. We all remember Nikola Jokic was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. I think it was for the Quesalupa, by the way, which that was always very nice back in the day. I don't think I've had Taco Bell in quite a while, but you know what? Shout out to Taco Bell and shout out to Nikola Jokic. Two very good products right there. But that said, we did see in terms of the second round, in my opinion, a few rock solid picks. Like Rashear Fleming coming off the board at number 31 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think that he's going to be able to fit that system. Certainly a guy that I don't think is going to be like some sort of a day one starter, but he's going to be able to come in, do a role, be able to give you some solid minutes. Now, the one team that I take a look at that I really like their draft is the Charlotte Hornets, and that really did continue in day number two, because on day one you get Colin Knipple, who, I mean, that was a pretty safe pick, but he's going to be instant offense. You know that he's going to pop it from three. Familiar with the southeast part of the country as well. He was playing over at Duke, so I mean, he stays right in that area. So you do love to see that. And they traded away Mark Williams for the number 29 overall pick and a 2029 first-round pick. And with that 29th pick, in my opinion, this is a guy that just fell further than he should have. Liam McNeely. I have no idea why so many teams were passing on him. We saw what UConn was with him on the court versus off the court. Him being able to just go to 29, go into a Hornets system where they need everything, I think is fair to say. Him going on over at number 29, I thought that was solid. And I mean, while you trade away Mark Williams, you also recoup Ryan Kalkbrenner. He goes in round number two, a solid 7-footer that's able to give you a little bit of 3-point shooting. He's able to give you some block shots. And then Sion James, he was a very versatile piece over at Duke. So, and you've got two Dukies that are going to be playing together in Sion James along Colin Knipple. So I really like what they were able to do in this draft. So a shout out to them. And how about another team that I thought was pretty rock solid? The Miami Heat didn't make like a ton of moves or anything like that, but I did feel like Kasperis Jakusonis at number 20 was pretty solid. I recognize that he had a few issues over there at Illinois this past season, but I mean, if you're looking at a, and I air quotes here, Heat culture guy, I feel like he is that, because I mean, we saw it a few years ago when they took someone like a Jaime Jaquez. Like, was he necessarily the biggest upside guy in the world? No. Is Kasperis Jakusonis going to be some guy that's going to be like some sort of a perennial all-star or anything like that? No, but it's a nice, safe pick, a guy that I think is going to be able to go out there, give you some relatively good production. So I do like that pickup. And this is a team that, I mean, they really didn't pick a lot in terms of day number one, but I mean, the fact that you got Tyrese Proctor at number 49 if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that I think should be the favorite out there to be able to win the East, I thought that that was actually a really good pickup. So I mean, I thought that that was a relatively good one as well. And then for the Utah Jazz, they called the bluff of Ace Bailey. He was trying to dictate the terms as to where he was going to be drafted. They said, no, you are going to be playing in Utah. If you want to get out of Utah, you better ball out and you better do a solid job. And they pick up Ace Bailey at number 5, and then they pick Walter Clayton. Walter Clayton, just such a good spot-up shooter, a guy with a quick release that I think really translates to the NBA. So absolutely love those moves for the Utah Jazz. And I mean, with the Utah Jazz, it's probably going to be a little bit rough for them moving forward, but you know what? I mean, you've got some solid players there. And then they were able to get John Tongi as well here in the latter half of the second round. We saw what he was able to do over at Wisconsin. I mean, maybe not the most ideal NBA body or anything like that, but you know that he's going to be able to give you some scoring, a guy that you're able to utilize in your organization. So really like what the Utah Jazz was able to do. Now, what I like even better is what we provide here at VSiN with our betting splits. As you're able to get them straight from the source, we get our betting splits from both Circa along with DraftKings, and this gives you everything that you need to see in terms of the market and in terms of what we're seeing. Because with Circa, they're known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a little bit more of a broader market perspective. This means that you're getting in on the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every single game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as low as $9.99 on your first month over at VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Greg Hoops-Peterson holding it down tonight. And if you're looking at some of the teams that I just question everything with them right now, the New Orleans Pelicans, like, I recognize that they got the pool party a few days ago in Jordan Poole, so I mean, that could help them out a little bit, but what are we doing trading an unprotected first-round pick along with the 23 pick this year with turned out to be Asa Newell, who I think that was a pretty rock-solid pick, by the way, for the Atlanta Hawks. They trade him to get Derrick Queen, and I like Derrick Queen. Derrick Queen deserved to probably go, heck, maybe even 11, maybe even 12. Like, I mean, I'm not knocking them for taking Derrick Queen at number 13. I'm knocking them for trading an unprotected first-round pick to trade up to get number 13. And maybe it's just me. I just don't feel the world's greatest about Jeremiah Fierce. Like, am I off base in saying that he wasn't necessarily the world's greatest three-point shooter? He had his turnover issues. Could he turn into be a really, really good player? Sure, he's got great athleticism. He's still a young guy. He was able to be a go-to guy over at Oklahoma, but we saw Oklahoma go down the toilet bowl in SEC play as well. So, I mean, I've got my question marks there. And then the Trailblazers, they decide to pick up Yang Hensin at number 16 overall, the international man of mystery from China. Felt like they could have waited a little bit longer for that one. That was one where it's like, wow, he went in the first round, let alone he went number 16 overall. And for the Blazers, like, I just don't know what that Anfernee Simons trade was a few days ago as well. They trade him away and they recoup back a guy that, I mean, is very rock solid in Jrue Holiday, and he's a high energy guy. He's going to be able to give you just a lot in general in terms of team building, but I mean, that's a guy that you bring in for a team that's looking to compete for a title. And I'm sorry, and I used to have a job out there that used to involve covering the Portland Trailblazers. I actually used to be working for the official flagship station of the Oregon Ducks before I came out here to lovely Las Vegas. And I mean, good people out there in the lovely city of Portland, Yeah, I don't think that even the lovely people out there in the city of Portland are thinking that the Portland Trailblazers going to be able to rise up this year. So that was very intriguing. And then if you're looking at just some rock solid picks that we did see from day number two as well, the Chaz. Chaz Lanier going to the Detroit Pistons, a team that they're looking for someone right away to be able to come in there, boost up that offense a little bit. Guess what? You checked the box with Chaz Lanier. Even going back before he went to Tennessee, this guy was a really good go-to scorer over at North Florida. He's able to just bomb it from three-point range. I think that that was just a great pickup in general. That was one that I absolutely love. Maximin Reynaud going at number 42 overall. A guy that stands 7'1" in terms of a lot of places. Some people listed him at 7 feet tall, but still, 7-plus feet tall, is able to shoot it from three-point range for the Sacramento Kings. Probably not going to crack the starting lineup, but I mean, he stays in state. He should be able to give you some instant production right away. That was one that I thought was tremendous. And then you get some that just sometimes scratch your head. Like, I mean, I am a stand for some of these mid-major guys getting picked. And the fact that you had Talon Peter going off the board from Liberty. He wasn't even a starter at Liberty. Now, he was a really good three-point shooter. And, I mean, that Liberty team was a really good offensive team. Like, I mean, Talon Peter was able to shoot 45% from three, double-figure score off the bench. Are we really wanting to draft him at number 54 overall? Like, I mean, unless if this guy is, like, the next... Let's think of a really good three-point shooter back in the day. All the guys that came over from Drake. I'm right now springing on the names, but all the guys that came over from Drake. They were always really good three-point shooters, and it'll come to be during the break. But you know what? Those were really good three-point shooters. Yep. College was Drake. I don't know the player. I will get that for you on the flip side. That said, Talon Peter, not a guy that I was thinking should have went that highly. Kyle Korver, that's it. We got it before the break. Kyle Korver. Unless if you're getting Kyle Korver here, I don't think that that one is going to be panning out. What is going to be panning out for us is breaking down some baseball, and we'll do so on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've got ourselves a lot of tremendous baseball to be able to take a look at. By the way, going back to the NBA draft, we did see a few of these, shall we say, notable players that went undrafted go to some places as well. You've got Mark Sears, who's going to be hoping to latch on, and he's going to be with the Milwaukee Bucks, so we'll see what happens there. RJ Davis, he did sign with the LA Lakers. There's a few other ones that are floating out there, and as we see guys of intrigue sign, I will let you guys know on that front. But what else is very intriguing is what we've got in terms of this baseball card, as we've got amazing games in general. All three teams are in action. Now, what else is amazing is the fact that Major League Baseball did not provide us with a day game once again on this day. So shame on you, but what we should be taking a look at is a very interesting interleague game where, I mean, shame on the bookmakers for setting the totals this high with this team's games. 927, 928 on the card. The LA Dodgers are on the road against the Kansas City Royals. Noah Cameron is on the bump for the Royals, and Dustin May hopes that it's May Day for the Royals. The total on this game is 9.5. The Dodgers are minus 150 or so favorites, anywhere between plus 135 to plus 130 is that number on the Royals. Total on this game, again, 9.5, with the Royals team as averaging fewer than 2.8 runs per game at home. Again, we thought last year there were some people out there that were thinking, oh, the Royals are cheating or something like that. Well, they clearly aren't this year at home, or if they are, they're cheating on the road to be able to get their 3.8 runs per game, because, man, it has been absolutely brutal. I brought this up in hour number one, and we're going to bring it up again. 0.9. That is a percentage of at-bats at home that are yielding a home run for the Kansas City Royals right now. Fewer than one in every 100 at-bats. Like, it absolutely baffles the human mind right now, and for Noah Cameron, he's actually been rock solid for the Kansas City Royals. Like, in all but one of his starts since coming up to the big league level, I believe that he's made 7 in total, he's given up 2 runs or fewer. Right now, posting up a sub-250 ERA. Now, he's not some sort of a strikeout artist. He's only getting about 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. neighbored about 2.7, 2.8 walks per nine, but is inducing some relatively soft contact. And it does feel like Kauffman Field is starting to play a little bit more, shall we say, pitcher friendly this season as well. I know it's been a little bit chilly out there in the Midwest, so the temperatures are certainly heating up here over the last few weeks. So that's certainly something I'm going to keep my eye on. But for Dustin May, pedestrian pitcher this year, he's getting about 8 strikeouts to just under 3.5 walks per 9 innings, a 4.46 ERA, fielding independent that is very much on par with that, and a bullpen that's been league average for the LA Dodgers. Now the good news is you've been able to get some good production out of Michael Kopech since he's come off the injury list. He should be able to hold it down for this team. Now Kirby Yates along with as well Tanner Scott have had their issues this season, but I do like what you're getting out of Alex Vesia, Jack Dreyer, who's been a relatively good long guy for this team, and part of the reason why you do have such a high total in this game, which I still can't believe we had the total of 10 on Thursday. Like, the Shane Boz against Michael Lorenzen, I recognize it wasn't a savory pitching matchup, but I mean, that total was 10. And with the LA Dodgers, at the very least, you've got the number one team in terms of run scoring, but now they're coming down from elevation. And typically when a team comes down from elevation, it takes them a game or two to be able to find their sea legs. The ball is just moving a little bit different in general. Now you've got Shohei Ohtani doing Shohei Ohtani things. North, 28 home runs this far this season. His on-base percentage north of 380. He's been rock solid, and you've got a team in general that has a lot of guys move the line. How about Will Smith getting jiggy with it when they're north of 400 on base? You've been able to have Andy Páez give you 15 home runs. Teoscar Hernandez north of 50 RBI. Mookie Betts has had a little bit of a down season for his Sanders, but I mean, it's still Mookie Betts. He's still doing a solid job being able to find a way on base, and even Tommy Edman has been able to give you some good production when he's been out there, as he's been a little bit in and out of the lineup. And Michael Conforto, that's been a rough season for him. He did have a home run in that series against the Colorado Rockies. Meanwhile, for the Royals, you've got Bobby Wood Jr. and Vinny Pascantino both giving you between 10 and 11 home runs. So, I mean, they've been able to do a relatively solid job on that front. And you've got guys that are getting on base, like Mikel Garcia is hitting north of 300. You've got Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell towards the bottom of the lineup hitting north of 245. But these veteran bats that they brought in, like a Mark Canha is still with them, but he's not hitting for a lot of average. They had to just cut ties with Kevon Biggio and Hunter Renfro. Both of these guys either at the minors or they got just DFA'd altogether. So that's been an issue for this Royals team. And the Royals do have a solid bullpen. They're in the top 10 in terms of bullpen ERA. Lucas Hersedge, Carlos Acevis, really good 1-2 punch, giving you a sub-3 ERA. Steven Cruz may hold it down as well. So I look at this spot. I do think that you're in for another low-scoring game. So my total at 8.6. I like the under. And with this Dodgers team, I set them at a minus 166 on the money line. That run line you're able to find plus money on, I'm going to be willing to take the Dodgers up to about a minus 105 on that run line. And I'm going to be taking a look at that under as well. Something that is always going to be able to be here for you, though, that would be X-Cutta. X-Cutta, they do an absolutely tremendous job of being your, I guess you call it, all-encompassing sports Calcutta, as it is X-C-U-T-T-A, and is the future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline of live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use, and it works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers, X-Cutta is a adaptable, shall we say, software to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your own winnings, and invite players to play for free. You can even create your own auctions for free. At X-Cutta, they've got free auctions every day, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern on those, or if you send an email to support at xcutta.com. Mention VSIN, V-S-I-N, they'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. X-Cutta is a sports Calcutta. That's again, xcutta.com. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, and what else has been, I mean, very tremendous in general, has been taking a look at the overall power of the LA Angels. Currently a top 3 team in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, and they'll look to keep their power surge going as the Nationals come to town. This is 9:29, 9:30 on the card, as it is Jose Soriano who gets the start for the Angels, and Mr. Jake Irvin is on the bump for Washington. Washington, a mid-size underdog, between about plus 140, plus 145, neighbor of minus 155 to minus 165 with regards to the Halos. Total on this game is 8.5. very interesting home and road splits for Jose Soriano. He has yet to give up a home run in 55 innings when he's been away from home thus far this season. And as we know, that is very, very difficult to be able to duplicate. Meanwhile, for Mr. Soriano, when he's been at home, that ERA does rise above 4. So, I mean, you've had a lot of issues on that front. And for Jose Soriano, not necessarily going to blow you away with his strikeout stuff, about 7.7 strikeouts to 4.2 walks per 9 innings. But he does face off against a Washington Nationals team that has been hot and cold in terms of their bats. And I will say this for Washington, about 3.8 runs per game at home, closer to about 4.6 runs per game away from home. Nathaniel Lowe has been able to get low for a double-digit amount of home runs. You've got C.J. Abrams, who's hitting north of 275, 11-plus bombs there. And James Wood is providing good woe with north of 20 home runs. So really like what I'm seeing there. Some of the guys at the bottom fold haven't necessarily been able to for a lot of average. They've been mixing and matching a lot of these young gun guys. But that said, well, you have a big trepidation with regards to this Washington Nationals team. The bullpen. Currently, that bullpen is dead last in the National League in terms of ERA. You just haven't found anything outside of Kyle Finnegan. Kyle Finnegan has been a relatively solid closer, and I guess Andrew Chafin hasn't been awful, but these guys like Zach Brzezinski, Jose Ferrer, Eduardo Salazar, like, you're getting nothing out of these guys. Like, it's been survival of the fittest. They've had guys like Lucas Sims and company get DFA'd this season, so it's been a case where they've tried to bring in some bullpen arms, and none of them have worked out. Meanwhile, on the flip side for the LA Angels, yeah, this bullpen is not great, to say the least. They are in the bottom five in terms of bullpen ERA. Been a little bit better recently, like Reed Detmers, Ryan Zephyrian, they're starting to improve a little bit, but you've got one guy in this bullpen with north of 10 innings pitch with a sub-2 ERA. That'd be Hunter Strickland. And for the Angels, I mean, this is a team that's all or nothing. And by that, I mean, you've got a lot of guys that are pounding the deep ball, and you've got a lot of guys that are not moving the line for you right now. Look no further than Taylor Ward. He's been able to give this team 19 home runs this season, but his on-base percentage is below a .275. Now, Nolan Chunall has been one of those main guys to be able to move the line. He's giving you in that neighborhood about a .360 or so on base, so you like that. And then you've got someone like Logan Ohapi. Have to feel very Ohapi about him being able to get 17 home runs. Not so Ohapi about the fact that he's got a .267 on base. Joe Adell setting fire to the rain with 17 home runs. He's now up to north of 300 on base, so you're getting a little bit more of something there. Mike Trout, he's been, since coming off the injury list, a little bit better in terms of getting on base, but I mean, even he has had his issues. Ori Solera hitting a .207 has been a little bit less than savory, but should be able to get to Jake Irvin, guy that's giving up 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. Jake Irvin as well, fewer than 7 strikeouts per 9, not really blowing you away. The walks have not necessarily been too bad, but when you're backed up by this bad of a bullpen for the Washington Nationals, that makes things all the more brutal for this LA Angels team. I do think that Jose Soriano gives you a relatively good start, and I do think that that bullpen is going to be giving up some runs. Right now we're seeing that total at an 8.5. I do like it over. I set mine at an 8.7, and if you're looking at the money line / run line, I did set my money line in the like mid-150s for the LA Angels. That run line, if we can get it up to about a +135, seeing a lot of +130s, would probably rather have the run line rather than the money line personally. And coming up next, nothing I would rather do than talk some NFL. It is Greg Peterson's NFL Random Football Roulette, and it comes up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Peterson holding it down tonight, and we're holding it down with some football chatter as it is now the dog days of summer. We need to be looking forward to some NFL action. And by the way, the VSiN betting guide for the great game of football, that is going to be coming out July 1st. That's coming out in a matter of days. I've got my playoff picks in there. Have a few futures. I'm not necessarily the world's biggest futures guy. That said, I do have a take on week number one in terms of that Philadelphia Eagles versus Dallas Cowboys game in there as well. So we've got a lot of fun there. And you know what? We have to be breaking down all these teams. We did 2 yesterday, and it's a game that is sweeping the nation. It is Greg's Random Football Roulette, and how about if we start it up right about now?
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
And this is where we take a team at random and we break them down. I have typed out all 30 teams I have yet to break down in terms of random.org, a website that I've used since I was a freshman in high school. It always serves me very well. We are going to hit the randomize button, and we will hope for big bucks, no whammies, and hey, this one is actually pretty solid. If you're looking at one of the most interesting teams, like if you're on a game show, you don't know whether you're going to be getting the jackpot or if you're going to be getting the booby prize. Like, you could be getting one or the other. You don't know which one you're getting on this one. It's the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings, one of the most intriguing teams in the NFL. They decide that they're moving on from Sam Darnold in the offseason. They're going to be rolling with J.J. McCarthy. Bold strategy right there after Sam Darnold was so good last year, but you invested the first-round pick in J.J. McCarthy. There are varying opinions about J.J. McCarthy. You probably either love J.J. McCarthy or you're feeling tepid about J.J. McCarthy. I'm feeling tepid about J.J. McCarthy because while he looked good at the combine last year, he looked good in terms of workouts, and he did get a full season to be able to dive in on the playbook, what have you. He didn't necessarily get those game reps or anything like that, but he was able to decipher the system in general. That helps you out. Right now, that season win total for the Vikings is 8.5, but you do have to pay minus 145 juice to be able to go over. You've got a make the playoff prop at a minus or a plus 115, I should say, and their division odds are 4-1. I think that they should be relatively the long shot in the division right now. I feel a little bit better about the Chicago Bears and them bringing in Ben Johnson and company, and I think that the Green Bay Packers are going to be the bee's knees this year. I think that they're going to be tremendous. The Detroit Lions are the Detroit Lions. I do think that they're going to go out there and get the job done. And I mean, for the Minnesota Vikings, the biggest thing that is hurting them is this division. Like, where are the wins going to come from when you play the Lions twice, the Packers twice, and the Bears twice? I feel like that they should be able to reasonably split against the Chicago Bears. The first game is going to be one that is going to be on the road on Monday Night Football. That's going to be a little bit of an issue. When you get them in mid-November, I feel like they should be able to get the job done there. But in terms of their early schedule, it's neither here nor there. Like, you take a look at their first five games before they have an early bye week. And I do think that the early bye week is not necessarily to their favor, because if you get someone that's banged up, that's going to be a little bit rough for you. But, I mean, they've got the Bears on the road. I think that that's a loss. At home against the Falcons on Sunday Night Football is a winnable game. At home against the Bengals, more than likely a loss, but you know what? They could be able to get the job done there. So, I mean, that's a here nor there toss-up game. You've got against the Steelers, but that's going to be in Ireland. I think that that's a very winnable game. Like, I am all the way out on the Steelers this year. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, not great to say the least. And I mean, he was the owner of the Bears, not the Minnesota Vikings, keep in mind. So there's that on the road against the Browns, but that's going to be a London game. If they don't win that game, then you're really a wet match in a dark cave if you're the Vikings. Then you get the bye week, and then you get the gauntlet. You have to play against the Eagles at home. I recognize that it's home. Loss. On the road against the Chargers. Loss. On the road against the Lions. Loss. I recognize that this is at home, but at home against the Ravens. Loss. And then you finally get a winnable game against the Chicago Bears. Should be able to get the job done there. And then you go on the road against the Packers. Loss. On the road against the Seahawks. Oh, man. I mean, the 12th man, I do think that's a relatively rough game. But again, a little bit of a toss-up game, much like that Bengals game. So I will give them one out of those two. At home against the Commanders, recognize that it's home. Loss. Against the Cowboys on the road, loss. Here's a winnable game. Giants. Yep, I recognize that that game's on the road, but I think that this Giants team is going to be a disaster. There you go there. They play on Christmas at home against the Lions. Feeling a loss there. I do think that they can knock off the Packers at home. I think that you can conceivably get a win there, but I'm looking at like 7 wins for this team. I just think that the schedule is brutal. I mean, especially in the middle part of the season, like, they absolutely need to win those 2 games in the continent of Europe against the Steelers or the Browns, or else it's going to be a rough season for this team. And I mean, while I do feel like J.J. McCarthy has quite a bit that he does need to prove, at the very least, you obviously have the weapons. Like, when you're able to throw to 2 of the best wide receivers in all of football, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, I mean, that's a minimum, a top 3 duo in all of football, with Jefferson arguably being the top wide receiver in all of football. That helps you out. And D.J. Hawkinson, we can't lose sight of what he's going to be bringing to the table. I do feel like the sacks could be a little bit of an issue for him as well. J.J. McCarthy, relatively spry on his feet. But for J.J. McCarthy, again, what are you going to be able to get from him as a passer? I would have liked to have seen him make a few more pressure throws over at Michigan. Now, he learned from one of the best in Jim Harbaugh. every single quarterback that Jim Harbaugh has touched has gone to, has turned to gold. Like, you even take a look at when he was with the San Diego Toreros. I mean, this guy, Mr. Johnson, I mean, he has been around the NFL for, like, so many different teams. Like, I mean, the amount of teams that Johnson has played for, my goodness. I believe that it's Jared Johnson? I forget the first name on Johnson, but, man, I mean, that guy was playing for, like, 500 million, billion teams. But, I mean, everything that he's been able to do has been able to work out with regards to the quarterback spot. But, I mean, that said, you do take a look at the defense for the team. Question marks abound, especially with an aging Harrison Smith. Like, this guy is now 36 years old. What are you going to be able to get out of him moving forward? You've got the guys in terms of front seven, but, I mean, they've moved on from a few guys here in the last few seasons. Now they're going to be looking at Jonathan Allen to be able to hold it down after Jonathan Allen was just all sorts of banged up with the Washington Commanders last season, so they're looking to be able to buy low there, but I've got my question marks along that defensive front seven in terms of being able to get home on the quarterback, and I think that that's going to be a big issue for the team. And you look at the Minnesota Vikings last year. I think that it's very fair to say that they got a little bit of good fortune with regards to some of those games that were able to break their way. Now, they weren't as fortunate as the Vikings team of, say, a few years ago when Kirk Cousins was at the helm and they were, oh, I don't know, coming back from north of four touchdowns down against the Indianapolis Colts to be able to get the job done. But still, I mean, you take a look at the back half of the season. They had those wins against the Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers where they just barely were able to eke those out. The 23-22 win against the Cardinals. You had to go to overtime on the road against the Bears. And they had quite a few wins where, I mean, it was a lot of one-score games, especially later on during the season. So does have you a little bit, shall we say, questionable with regards to the team, and then they just got completely owned against the Rams, albeit that same Darnold at quarterback. But is J.J. McCarthy right now this year an upgrade from Sam Darnold? I think that that's a very valid question. Do I think that he can be 2 years from now, 3 years from now? I do think that he can be. Like, he's got all the tools, he's got all the attributes. I think they can be rock solid, but, and he's coming off of a major injury last year as well, and you don't know if it might take him a few games for him to be able to get all lathered up and for him to be able to get all ready to go, everything like that. So I do think that that's a big question mark for him, as well as you're asking that question right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson taking a look at the Minnesota Vikings for this upcoming football season. That win total is at 8.5, and you're having a lay minus 145 to go over. I like that under at a plus 120, plus 125, depending upon where you get it. And if you're looking for a team to be dead last in the division, I do think that it is the Minnesota Vikings, because they do have a little bit more of a sack schedule than, say, the Chicago Bears. And for the Chicago Bears, it's going to take them a little bit of time in season number two under their regime. I do think that there's quite a few question marks when it comes to what you're going to be able to get out of the quarterback spot with Mr. Caleb Williams. But that said, with this Bears team, they are going to be able to have a few more manageable games. Like, they're going to be on the road against the Raiders. They're going to be able to get a, shall we say, cushy game against the Cleveland Browns when they're at home. So, I mean, they were gifted a few of those games. They also have the New Orleans Saints as well. So, yeah, that is going to help you out a little bit, because with the Vikings, them being able to have such a good record last year, that provide them with a little bit of more difficult schedule than the Chicago Bears have as well. So I do think that that's going to be a little bit of a difference maker. And in a just tough, brutal NFC North, I think that they maybe get two wins in this division. Like, I just don't know where the wins are going to be coming from against the Lions, Packers, and the Bears. Like, I think that they split with the Bears, but I think at minimum one of those two teams in the Lions and the Packers sweep this Minnesota Vikings team. So you have yourself a lot of issues there. And again, the big giant question mark, J.J. McCarthy. What are you going to be able to get out of him? On a scale of 1 to 10, feeling about a 4 on J.J. McCarthy. Not going to lie, don't think that's going to be a great year. And if J.J. McCarthy falls flat, this team falls flat. So looking at the under in terms of the Minnesota Vikings wins this season, we're going to get you guys another football preview in about 45 minutes. But coming up next, we have to take a look at a sport that is going to be taking center stage on Friday. It is the dog days of summer. We've got ourselves plenty of baseball, and we'll break it down next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. It was great to be able to talk some football. We went out to the NFC North last segment. We took a look at the Minnesota Vikings. Three teams down, 29 to go in terms of the Greg's Random Football Roulette. We're going to get you another team preview in hour number three. I cannot pronounce which team it's going to be because we don't know which team it's going to be in. That's the fun of it. So we've got 29 more teams to be breaking down, and I have to get you set for what is going to be a tremendous NFL season. By the way, our NFL betting guide here at VSiN, that's coming out on July 1st. You want to check that out if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get in on that. I have projected every single one of my NFL playoff teams in that preview as well. So we've got a lot of fun there. How about if we get you guys some fun on the ball diamond today? Because the one bad thing about football is that it is not currently being played right now. Unless if you're looking at the CFL. The CFL can oftentimes prove to be very, very profitable. So we will never lose sight of our friends up north. But that said, how about if we take a look at a game that is going to be out there on the East Coast? More specifically, the DMV. 9-11-9-12 on the card. The Tampa Bay Rays are on the road against the Baltimore Orioles as Tomoyuki Sugano is on the bump for the Orioles. And you got Ryan Pepiot on the bump for the Rays. Rays, in a lot of places, are about a minus 120 favorite. This is starting to tick up. We're starting to see more around a minus 130 in a few spots. And the total on this game is 9 with the Orioles being in a lot of places about a plus 105 to a plus 110 underdog. Here where I sit at Circa, you're able to get the best number. That is currently at a plus 118. And with that total of 9, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the under. For the Orioles, are they getting a little bit more healthy with Colton Cowser, Jordan Westberg? Absolutely they are, but I mean, this is still a hot and cold lineup that I don't necessarily trust in too much. Cedric Mullins has been your top home run hitter. He's hitting for less than a 230. I would say your most consistent hitter has been Ryan O'Hearn. O'Hearn has been able to give you a double-figure amount of bombs. Does a solid job moving the line. He's been able to give you north of a 375 on base, but now Adley Rutschman hits the injured list. That's not great. You're bringing in Gary Sanchez, who had a grand slam about a week or two ago, but he hasn't necessarily worth a lick for this season. You've got Roman Urias, who's been able to do an okay job of being able to move line, but just lots of deficiencies with this lineup. They're not doing a great job of being able to get on base. They are bottom half of the big league team in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. Some of these guys that you thought were going to be able to burst out, like Heston Kjerstad, they've just been big giant flopperoonies. And I mean, for Kjerstad, it got so bad that they had to send him back down to the minor league level. So yeah, it's not necessarily savory there. And what else is not savory is this Baltimore Orioles bullpen. It's a bullpen that is currently in the bottom six of the big leagues in terms of ERA. Now, has Felix Bautista been a rock solid closer? Yeah, he has been. And you've been able to have Keegan Aiken as a little bit of a long guy do a solid job being able to come out there, hold down the fort, being able to give you a sub three ERA. But for some of these other guys, it's been an issue. Now, I will say, the former Phillies and Gregory Soto, Sir Anthony Dominguez have not been terrible, so that helps you out a little bit, but Andrew Kittredge with north of 4 ERA. You've had Yennier Cano, don't you know? His ERA is starting to go to nearly a 5, and for the Tampa Bay Rays, they do such a great job of mixing and matching with this bullpen. Number 3 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. They do a great job with these guys like Manuel Rodriguez, Garrett Clevenger, Eric Orze, all these guys that are able to give you a sub 3 ERA. And for the Rays, the offense has been able to erupt. They're averaging darn near 5 runs per game on the road. That is a top 6 mark in the big leagues. You've been able to have a pair of guys in Junior Caminero, Brandon Lau, get loud, combined 36 home runs, both hitting north of 260. Yandy Diaz has been one of the hottest hitters in all of baseball, north of a 335 average over the last 30 days. And he's now up to a double-figure amount of bombs. And you do have some guys at the bottom of the lineup that you could use a little bit more from. Guys like a Taylor Walls, you're even able to throw in there Jose Calabreo. But I will say this about Calabreo. Even though he's only hitting for about a 230 this year, north of 300 on base, 29 stolen bases. You've got a guy like a Jake Magnum who's able to swipe some bags. He's hitting a 300 as well. So, and you've got a lot of rock solidness with regards to this lineup in general. And I do think that for the Tampa Bay Rays, Ryan Pepiot will be able to give you a solid start. He's seeing his swing and miss stuff rebound up to about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. So his ERA is about a 304. Fielding independence a point higher. Now for Tomoyuki Sugano, it's even more demonstrative as Sugano doesn't give out a lot of walks. Sub 2 walks per 9 innings, but he does give up just under 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. And His swing and miss stuff is not there. Fewer than six strikeouts per nine innings. Big reason why he's got a 3.55 ERA, north of a 4.80 fielding dependent. And I do think that this is one of these cases where the Tampa Bay Rays go out there, do a solid job, but be able to put bat to ball, and they get the job done. So I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on the money line of the Rays. Would be willing to go up to about a minus 130. So, and with regards to the total, I'm in on the under as well. Set mine just a little bit sub nine, as it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. Now, we do have a few games that are presently off the board, and I'll see if we can get some openers on these. Like, I will search feverishly in case we do get an opener with regards to this Milwaukee Brewers and Colorado Rockies game, as the Rockies, it appears as though they have yet to announce their starter, so that's what you're waiting on there. And for the Philadelphia Phillies game, they have yet to announce a starter for the Atlanta Braves. Right now, it's looking like it should be Bryce Elder, and I am starting to see an opener pop onto the board, so we'll break this game down, as this is going to be 905, 906 on the card. It's Mick Abel, who hopes to be very able to give the Philadelphia Phillies a win going against Bryce Elder, who hopes to not pitch Elder Lee in this one. And for the Atlanta Braves, they are minus 130 favorites on the money line and the opener that I'm seeing. Mick Abel and the Phillies are plus 118. Total on this game is 9, but that 9 has juice of north of a minus 125, and I did set my total 9.2. I would rather take a 9.5 under rather than a 9 over, though. And if they're setting the juice at north of a minus 125 on the over of 9, you have to figure that a 9.5 is going to be coming onto the board. With Mick Abel, the concern has been the home run ball, as he has made 4 starts this far this season, and he's been fine in these starts. He's given you a sub-3.75 ERA. He has given up 9 earned runs across these starts, but he has given up 7 home runs with those 9 runs. Like, he has been very, very fortunate that he's given up a lot of solo shots. He's given up 7 home runs in total over the course of his last 3 starts. Meanwhile, for Bryce Elder, just not a guy that really wows me. He's going to give up about 2.5 to 3 walks per 9 innings. He's going to give you 6.5 to 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. I mean, a sub-4.75 ERA, fielding independent, that's right on line with that. And I will say for the Atlanta Braves, since May 1st, a top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA, you have the likes of Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee, Aaron Bummer, who have been able to give you a sub-3.75 ERA, but closer spot, man, Rossy Iglesias. This guy has been not good, to say the least, this year. And you know who else has not been good? This Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. You've got Orion Kerkering, who he had a little bit of a rough go of it here in the series against the Houston Astros, but he's giving you a sub-3 ERA. Really, he's the only guy in the bullpen that's been able to give you a sub-3.50 ERA. As you've seen Matt Strom have his issues this year. Like, it got so bad that they had to let go of Carlos Hernandez. Jordan Romano has been an issue. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, they did not score in that series against the Houston Astros. Not great. And you can tell how much Bryce Harper being on the injury list is hurting this team. Now, I will say, you've been able to get good production out of Kyle Schwarber, 24 home runs, worth of a 340 on base. He is the only guy in the roster, though, that's giving you a double-figure amount of bombs for this Philadelphia Phillies team. Outside of that, you got a lot of guys that find a way on base, like Alec Boehm, Nick Castellanos, Trey Turner. These guys are hitting north of 275. So while the power's not there, the average has been, and been able to get a little bit more of JT Realmuto as well. But flip side, for the Atlanta Braves, do have Ronald Acuña Jr. doing Ronald Acuña Jr. things. He's been able to supply 9 home runs in a month. He's giving you north of 450 on base. But Michael Harris, Ozzie Albies, these guys have had their issues. You've been having up and down play from the bottom of the lineup with the likes of Eli White and company, so that's been a little bit of a concern. Matt Olson, 15 home runs, but he's been inconsistent all season long. Very interesting circumstance. I could only set the Braves at a minus 113 because, again, I just don't have any faith in Bryce Elder whatsoever. And with Mick Abel, I actually really like what I saw from him for the AAA Iron Pigs out there for their affiliate in the great state of Pennsylvania. So I'm going to be willing to take a shot on a 9.5 under. I think we should be able to get that. Again, right now I'm seeing a 9, but that overjuice is minus 128. So we should get 9.5 when this is a little bit more of a market-wide number. Looking at that under, and I'm going to be willing to take a plus 114 or higher with regards to that Philadelphia Phillies money line. And how about if we take a look at this game? This is one that is going to be happening out there in the Windy City, 9:23, 9:24. The San Francisco Giants are on the road against the Chicago White Sox. Aaron Savali is on the bump for the Southsiders, and Landon Roop is on the bump for the Giants. Giants are anywhere between minus 165 to minus 170 favorites, right around plus 150, plus 155 on the Southsiders, and your total on this game is 8.5, and with regards to this White Sox team, I set them at a plus 168. Right now, now, if you're looking to lay run half with the San Francisco Giants, you're finding that in the neighborhood about a minus 105. If we can find a little bit of even money, which I'm seeing at a few books, I'd be willing to roll with it. Roop has been giving up some runs over his last few starts, but he's been able to hone in on the walks, giving up less than a home run per nine innings. And this is a Chicago White Sox team that's currently a bottom five team in terms of runs per game. Miguel Vargas says be able to give you 10 home runs, but you've got some of these guys like Joshua Palacios, Josh Rojas, Michael A. Taylor throwing there as well. Luis Robert just continues to struggle, hitting at 220 or lower. The White Sox bullpen has been relatively respectable. The San Francisco Giants bullpen, number one in all big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Had a rough series against the Miami Marlins. I think that this is a bounce back. Like that run line of the Giants and the under. And what else I like? Breaking down some basketball. We'll do some next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.